It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by
Gordon Ranch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
Not only is James Harden back, he is practicing. What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can catch me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, and of course, you can also find our show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And if you appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a favor, hit that subscribe button, give us a review, drop us some stars. I would sincerely appreciate it. So the Rockets practice Thursday, July 16th. What is it, 16th? Yeah, July 16th. There we go. Time is an illusion during quarantine. Anyways, Rockets practice July 16th, and none other than the bearded man himself, James Harden, was available for practice. So he went through his 48-hour quarantine after arriving in Orlando Tuesday. He got his three negative test results back, and he was free to join the Rockets practice. And man, The overall feeling of having James back in the practice from Coach D'Antoni, from Ben McLemore, and from the clips that we've gotten to see all over social media, it's been a great feeling because James is just, he's the leader of this team. You know, in the audio that we heard from PJ Tucker in the previous podcast, PJ talks about what James Harden means to this team, and that is, when you see how much these guys just, they genuinely love him. He is their bearded leader. He is the team. And so without him, it's just a different intensity level, a different atmosphere. And, now that he's back and apparently hasn't missed a step. So that's the thing is both MDA and Ben McLemore were available for the media session after this practice, as well as one James Harden. So we will hear from James Harden in just a moment, and I'll play his audio back here in the second segment. For MDA and Ben McLemore, I'm not actually going to play their audio back from this practice, simply because they basically just spoke about James Harden and how great it was to have him back, and the fact that he didn't look rusty at all. He didn't look like he's, that he's missed a step. Ben McLemore talked about the fact that, he spent so much of quarantine training and getting his body right, and talking about, the photos that we saw all over social media, the Slim Jim Harden photos that got leaked, and, from his training camp, from his intensive training camp in Arizona. So I'm not going to run back their audio simply because that's all they talked about. They talked about James, and understandably so. Whenever, there's big news about a player, he comes back for his first practice in over 4 months, his first media availability in 4 months, a lot of times the media tends to just hit the coach and the other players with questions about him. And, it's understandable. He's the franchise player. He's the star player. And there were some questions regarding him, whether or not he, why he delayed his joining of the team in Orlando, and he winds up citing family issues. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But there's also something else, and I'll address this after running back his audio in full. But, in fact, I won't even address this quite just yet. I want to make sure that we get to his audio. But before I do that, I will dip into some slightly more shenanigan-y type bubble news. And this one's a bit dated, and it's because I kept not finding a spot to talk about it in previous episodes. But Bruno Caboclo was one of the first players to break quarantine protocol at the bubble. And it was simply because he left his hotel room and walked all the way down to the front desk to ask how to order more food. I'm going to let that sink in for a second, because when all the players first got there, they had to quarantine for 48 hours and not leave their room. Bruno did not listen to this and left his room before the 48 hours was up and walked down to the front desk and is now under, you know, intensive quarantine for, I think it's like 10 days or something like that. Basically, I mean, just poor Bruno, you know, and then the jokes and the memes that kind of follow that, you know, oh, now he's, you know, two quarantines away from being two quarantines away. Just, you know, all that good stuff going on. I've wanted to share that. And there's been so many other bubble shenanigans. There's an official, it's not an official account, but somebody made a Twitter account dedicated to cataloging everything that's going on in the bubble. I mean, I've been doing that a little bit for Rockets players. Anytime I see a quick, you know, Instagram story or something, I take a video of it and I throw it up on the Twitter feed if it's not already there, whether it's from Daryl Morey or any of the players. But there's a bubble Twitter account dedicated to posting all these videos, and whoever's running it has gotten some burn on like ESPN and Inside the NBA. Like, everybody's talking about this bubble account, and it's just interesting to see all the players and how they're, you know, how living in the bubble is. What, you know, it's an insane experience. And I honestly can't wait for the like 30 for 30 that's going to come out about the bubble, because thinking about all the different stories that are going on, you know, here's the other one. I'll leave you with this before we move on to the next segment. Another player who got in trouble for breaking quarantine was King center Rashawn Holmes, because Kelly Oubre sent out a tweet saying something along the lines of, "You're allowed to walk to the edge of the Disneyland campus, the Disney bubble campus, and you can pick up food." So you can like order like Uber Eats, DoorDash, whatever. And it's just the driver can't come inside. So you just walk to the edge of the campus and grab the bag from him. Rashawn Holmes does this. And then literally like it was like minutes later or something, Shams Charania throws out the tweet that Rashawn Holmes has broken NBA bubble protocol and must quarantine for 10 days in his room by himself. And then a day later, Kelly Oubre drops a tweet that says, "Never mind, LOL." So, you know, it's just thinking about how specific these procedures are, and thinking about like the 1-800 hotline for anybody who's breaking rules that Chris Paul probably has loaded into his phone, ready on speed dial to see, you know, if anybody's breaking any rules inside the bubble. All sorts of crazy shenanigans going on. I haven't been able to address as many of them as I've wanted to because we've had so much media availability and so many audio clips to run back from the team. So hopefully in the coming days, as we move back to, you guessed it, we're moving back to 5 days a week starting next week. So as we move back to 5 days a week, it'll give me a little bit more time to be able to tackle some of the shenanigans that's going on inside the Disney bubble. So with that, I think that's where we're going to kind of end up with our first segment. And then next segment, we'll hear James Harden's media availability audio as promised. But first, let me drop in a quick word from our friends over at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure the often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your car an LX or an EX? And then you have to wait while the person goes behind the counter to order the parts, and they're only picking from the parts that are available in their warehouse. And, you know, you have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. And they have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And we are back at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Getting ready to dive into James Harden's media availability audio, the first time he's spoken to the media since way back March 11th. So here we go.
Hi, James. Can you clear it up for us why you had to delay your arrival? And how do you feel about that now that you are back?
So I have some family issues, but I'm happy I'm here. I felt actually really, really good to be out here with the guys and, you know, getting after it, just pushing our way. Every single day is going to be a new challenge for us, but I think we're in the right steps.
Thank you.
Tim McMahon.
Hey, James. Having missed a little bit of time, I understand you were working out at home.
you know, where do you feel you are in terms of rhythm, conditioning? What are you looking to get out of the scrimmages?
I feel like I'm in a good place. Today was actually the first time that I actually played pickup, you know, some 5-on-5 contact in, you know, over a month. Individual working out and conditioning is totally different. You know, it's, you know, you can do track workouts, you can do all different type of conditioning workouts, but when you're actually out there, you get bumped and you got to actually make plays and make reads and get up and down the court. It's totally different. So it felt really good today. I think I pushed myself through it today. And like I said, every single day, just got to continue to get better.
Appreciate it.
Next one, Brian Smith.
Hey, James, we haven't really spoken with you in about 4 months since your guys' last game. What's this been like for you to not, you know, for the first time really in a long time, not be able to play NBA basketball when you're supposed to? The whole country is dealing with the coronavirus. There's so much else going on, racial, you know, unrest issues. What's this been like just kind of watching this whole last 4 months evolve to the point that finally now you're back on a basketball court?
It's been a whirlwind. Like, it's been so many things. I think every single day it was something new. It was something different that that hit the world, you know, hit the social media. You know, for us, I think it's bigger than basketball, but I feel like now it's a great opportunity to give the world something positive to, you know, look forward to. You know, with the racial, you know, issues going on and the COVID and everything, it was just a lot of, you know, craziness in these last 4 months. So hopefully with the NBA being back and give some positive energy, give the world something to look forward to as far as, you know, watching us play. And hopefully we can just keep moving forward.
Next question, Rachel Nichols.
Hi, James.
So, Rachel.
I just want to know what you thought is going to be the biggest challenge for you as you try to ramp yourself up into the game shape you want to be in. Normally you don't take a 4-month break 8 games before the playoffs.
For me, like I said, I've been in condition. You know, that's like, you know, as I get older, you know, I have to make sure my conditioning is, you know, where it needs to be in order for me to perform. So, like I said, not being able to play 5-on-5 pickup, now being here with the guys giving me a great opportunity to get in that game shape, you know, push myself. Even when my legs feel a little heavy, I might be mentally a little tired, but I got to push myself, you know, and get through it. The guys have been here for a few days now, so they already kind of went through that the heavy leg lifting. So you know, keep pushing. And then hopefully, you know, when Russ get here, he creates that same mindset and kind of just follow in. And, you know, hopefully we'll be ready before the first game.
Do you think the 4 months will actually help you having that kind of break before the playoffs? You've never had that before.
We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, like, I think for everybody, it's just who can, you know, be in shape, who can get mentally turn that switch on as a team. It's great individually, but, you know, whoever can create that bond in these next few weeks to push themselves to kind of hit that switch in playoff mode is going to give themselves the best chance.
Thanks.
Next question, Mark Medina.
Hey, James. Good to see you. Hope you and yours are hanging in there. Given all the restrictions of what you can do during quarantine, from what you're willing to share, what was your day-to-day with your training to try to make the best of it?
Talking about back at home?
Yeah. I mean, just once the season ended, what was your day-to-day training?
I mean, for me, like, I mean, basketball is, you know, natural. Like, I feel, like, comfortable no matter what if I take a month or two off. The biggest thing for me is conditioning. You know, if I'm able to be in well shape to get to my spots, to be able to handle the ball, to be able to get my shot off, then I'm cool. So it was just mostly conditioning, like running, weightlifting. I did a little bit of yoga, you know, to make sure my flexibility was there. But and then obviously staying in the gym. So, and I know it's hard, like for the last four months or however long it's been for each individual player, like here, there's restrictions. There were, you know, times where gyms wasn't available. So we had to kind of be creative. But now that we're here and, you know, we have a place to, you know, and a platform to kind of show the world that, you know, we've been working, it's exciting.
Mark Berman.
Hey, James. Yesterday when we asked PJ about you being there, he said when you show up, it changes everything. Intensity goes up, level of play goes up. You raise the stakes when you show up. That's what they love about it. What does that mean to you coming from PJ? And secondly, what does PJ Tucker mean to you and your team?
I mean, I think the world knows no matter what's going on, James Harden loves the hoop. So, and he's a competitor. So You know, today in practice, we got after it. You know, we played a couple quarters and we pushed ourselves. And, you know, I'm doing a lot of you know, trash talking as usual, and just to get the guys, you know, motivated and, you know, keep pushing. And PJ, obviously, we know he's a dog. You know, he brings that same intensity every single day. You know, no matter if he's making shots or missing shots, he's getting after it. He's fouling. He's being a competitor. You know, he's that guy that we need, and that everybody would love on their team.
What do you think about your chances to win it all this year?
I'm excited. You know, like I said, once we get Russ back and we get our full, you know, roster healthy and we get our in shape like we need to be, we can compete with anybody.
We'll take two more. Tim Reynolds.
Hey, James, good to see you. I know everyone's going to talk about, you know, the season starts 2 weeks from tonight. But for you, when you talk about ramping up and when you get Russ back, whenever that is, is the real target for you guys game one on August 17th or whenever that is? I mean, I know there's still a seed to play for right now. I know that's in doubt. But if you look at this, it's about being ready for game one and not these first eight, really.
For sure. I was just talking to Coach about it. And it's like home court advantage, there's no home court advantage. Like everybody's, you know, we don't have any fans. So it's you versus, you know, us, you versus us. And we're going to have to figure it out. So it don't matter if you're 4th seed, 5th seed, 6th seed. It doesn't really matter. You know, for us, it's about getting in shape and making sure our offense and our defense is crispy and we're all on the same page, and, you know, we'll play anybody.
Last question, Mark Spears.
Yes, James, can you talk about your plan in terms of, or if you have a plan in terms of social justice message or ways to talk about what's going on? And do you plan on putting anything on the back of your jersey?
I'm in the process of you know, working that out right now. You know, I'm in the process of figuring out if I want to, you know, put a message on my back or another way to deliver my message. But, you know, somehow my message is going to get across. So I'm in the process of, you know, figuring out if the jersey name is the best idea or another way. So, yeah.
And also I wanted to ask you about being in Houston, being so close to George Floyd's family and I don't know if you went to the memorial service at all, but what was it like being a part of Houston during all this time?
I was actually out of town when the service happened, you know, when it occurred. But just the way the city just, like, rallied, it was amazing. I think the world saw it, you know, how so many people could come together so close. Obviously, it was for, you know, a tragic reason, but, you know, the march and everything that, you know, we're standing for is very powerful.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, James.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's going to do it for James. So coming up, we'll talk about some of his talking points and, you know, I'll hit on that one major point that I wanted to make in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So first things first, it's just great to be able to hear from James Harden. Like, you know, he's actually pretty awesome generally in interviews. Sometimes he's a little animated. You know, he's not, I guess sometimes athletes kind of give, you know, some more lackluster generic interviews where it's just, you know, yeah, we tried really hard. You know, I don't know. I feel like there's some athletes that are just really good interviews and others that are just kind of so-so interviews. And James tends to give a pretty good interview. At least that's my opinion. And so kind of just some of the points that he made, you know, just talking about the fact that, you know, he came back in and was ready. And again, kind of highlighting back to Mike D'Antoni saying that, you know, he was playing 5-on-5 and it, you know, he looked like he was rusty for maybe 30 seconds out there, and then he was completely back to normal. I put up, there's a couple of clips on my Twitter feed, one specifically of him with this, you know, super sweet behind the back dime to Robert Covington as he's diving towards the basket, puts it right on the money, and Rocco just goes up for an easy two right at the rim. You know, things like that, you know, just his passing ability. It's always so great to be able to watch. And it's, you know, been 4 or 5 months now without it. So it's great to see clips and glimpses of that again. But, you know, for James specifically, you know, a lot of questions about, you know, what he spent his quarantine doing, you know, just getting his body right. You know, the fact that he missed basketball, you know, that hopefully this can maybe be a distraction, or at least kind of, you know, give some positive energy back to the world. Because, again, we don't want a distraction from the things going on right now, especially with the social justice movement. But it is, you know, taxing, you know. So having something to, you know, something positive in the world, like he said, is probably a good thing. And speaking on that, the main point that I wanted to get to, and the point that has been just engrossed in all social media starting late last night after Harden's media availability, is the fact that apparently the mask that Harden wore to practice was in support of Blue Lives Matter, and it's that logo with the United States flag, and then it's got like the two blue lines and then the black line going through the middle of it. And honestly, when he first showed up to practice, I didn't notice it. You know, I saw his mask and I was like, okay, that's kind of a cool mask. And, you know, it covers up his entire beard. That's awesome. I'm sure that's kind of hard to find for a guy who's got a gigantic, majestic beard like James Harden does. So that being said, I don't think a lot of people realized what the mask stood for initially. And then even, you know, the Rockets and the NBA, they started taking all these up close photos of James, and, you know, because it's his first practice back, so everybody's, you know, they're gonna promote the hell out of one of their star players for the league. And even like the city of Houston, there's a photo of James, you know, zoomed in all up close, and the city of Houston, you know, goes and retweets it, and, you know, hashtag mask up everybody. And again, based on the fact that, you know, George Floyd, the protests, everything going on, it's a direct counter to that. And I kind of, my whole point is, I don't think that James Harden intentionally purchased and wore a Blue Lives Matter mask to his first practice back. And I made the point on social media that Harden is one of the most reserved players in the league when it comes to politics, and I highly doubt that he did that intentionally. My thought process is just this. Honestly, he probably saw the mask somewhere or saw it online and thought two things. One, that looks really cool. And two, that thing is going to cover up my entire beard. And I think those were the only two points that probably mattered. And so he bought the mask, wore the mask, or one of his, you know, an assistant of his, or, you know, his business manager, whatever, somebody gifted him the mask, whatever. And he's like, okay, great. This thing covers up my entire beard. That's important. And, you know, this thing's cool. And it's kind of cool looking. And when I first saw the mask, I was like, all right, that's kind of cool looking too. I didn't understand the meaning behind it. But the Blue Lives Matter, you know, push, and similarly to the All Lives Matter push, are direct affronts to the Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, if you don't agree with that, you can kick rocks. So I don't think James did that intentionally. It'll be interesting to see what he comes back and says on social media about it, because there's been such a large outcry on social media that it pretty much warrants attention from James, and either, you know, a statement from him or from his you know, his team, whatever, from his camp. And frankly, the other thing that I want to highlight is, you know, near the end of his interview, when asked about the march here in Houston specifically because of George Floyd, you know, he talked about, you know, what we are marching for. He emphasized we, you know, he included himself with, you know, on the side of the protesters. So I find it hard to believe that somebody that would use that phrasing to talk about the social justice marches going on across the country, and specifically here in Houston because of the death of George Floyd, because of the murder of George Floyd. Sorry, I caught myself there. Because of the murder of George Floyd, I find it hard to believe that somebody along those lines would, you know, knowingly show up rocking a Blue Lives Matter mask to his first practice back and his first media availability after 4 or 5 months. That's just, it doesn't strike me as a James thing to do. I think it just wasn't intentional. And that's kind of all I have to talk about on that point, because that kind of hits all the major spots on that. I figured it's big enough for me to address here in the podcast, because it caught fire over social media. People have been talking about it on Twitter, on Reddit. I'm sure there's been some really dumb NBA Instagram posts about it too. So we'll see where this thing goes. And, you know, maybe James will come out and make an official statement about it or something, or, you know, his teammates will tell him about it. And, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But I think for today's episode, that's kind of where we're going to wrap things up. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.